The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Ladies and gentlemen, back with you. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, 29 April 2010, talking with Walter Ruddy, committeesofsafety.org. And no comment on the Reuters story there?
Yeah. the lamestream media just loves to, I think this is one of their Achilles heel, the word militia. I think what they fear the most is if the American people ever are organized, together in this with this power. And the full implementation of the Second Amendment. The Supreme Court site you ruled on Heller, they put it into just an individual right, and then they're going to regulate it right out of, that's what their plan is, regulating it right out of existence. The thing about the militia of the several states were organized in that from the bottom up, would be they're immune from all federal laws. I mean, because it will not only be a right, but it's a duty to keep and bear this arm in your home.
Well,
it's exempt from those, any regulation.
Well, and
or any federal regulation.
And forgive me, Walter, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second, okay?
Yeah.
Because, sure. Edwin Vieira's position and your position is that, well, there's really no, lawful way that people can get together a private militia to train and, you know, to do whatever in case of emergencies or,
well,
martial law. The problem I'm having here, let me just state it plainly.
Well, I don't have a problem with people getting together, you know, but it's not the definition that founders had of a militia. That it's a private gun group, paramilitary group, whatever. There's Appleseed. There's a few of these guys, they go out and target practice and preparation and all this. That, there's nothing per se illegal about that, but it's not the militia of the several states, what is constitutional, the way the founders described it.
Yeah, okay, well, let me get around to making my point here, is that if I'm going to do this under the behest of, say, Governor Rick Perry here in Texas, though they have a state guard, okay, you know how they dress them? In pink. Pink, mind you, jumpsuits, and of course they have no weapons and they have no training. Yeah. They don't have anything but a pink jumpsuit. Now that's kind of laughable, but the point is that if I'm going to depend on people like Governor Perry or whomever from the
you need to replace him.
Well, yeah, okay, but all right. Let's have the real world meet the rubber in the road and all that stuff. And I'll get into this subject matter after the break because, you know, I see this as trying to play legal patty cake with the idea that we may need the militias in this country to restore the government because the government has no respect for the people. And I'm talking about, well, state as well. All right, we'll take this break and invite your calls as well. 800-313-9443.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And here's the problem I got, Walter. Walter?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Here's the problem that I have. The organized militia. Now, is that constitutional or isn't it?
The way it currently is, to set up a structure?
This is not a trick question.
Is the militia of the several states a constitutional militia, which doesn't exist today and hasn't for 100 years? I'd like to make clear up another misunderstanding seems to be prevalent out there, is that the National Guard is the militia now. And that is blatantly wrong, because it's the Army National Guard. And the Army is not the militia of the several states. You could see that in Article 2, Section 2, under the President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and the militia of the several states when called into actual service of the United States. Only for those three purposes. Otherwise, it's a state institution.
Well,
but
yeah,
it's called the Army. It's not the militia. The militia is not the Army. And that's what we have. It's a reserve unit of the Army, the National Guard. So that's not the organized militia
so
today.
What is to stop state after state with doing what Oklahoma just did. Trying to pass a law that's outlawing and putting
gangs.
The whole point of course they had to throw the KKK in there.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they had to throw in terrorism in there. These militias that are around the country, as they were back in the 90s, weren't there to go wage war on the federal government. They were set up strictly for defensive purposes. Strictly for defensive purposes.
But I believe, John, and you and I have been around this a long time, I believe that most of those that are participating in these private paramilitary groups, I mean, are patriotic and have every good intention, and it's for defensive only. But as far as the proper structure, I think we really, what I'm doing, and I've talked to hundreds of state legislators, we've come a long way with educating them and getting this corrected. We know the district of criminals is not going to do it. Forget it down there. They're not going to organize a militia of the several states.
No, I mean, let me ask.
The states will. We have some that are very open to do this, and it's essential. The founders said, a matter of fact, they said it's the only thing that's necessary if we're to remain a free state. It's a well-organized militia.
Do you know
a free state, it's the one thing we don't have.
Do you know anything about Switzerland and people over there mandated by law to, and we're not talking about, these evil, they look like assault weapons, but they only shoot one round at a time. They're not automatic weapons or burst weapons. They have been mischaracterized. They said, well, my God,
the militia.
That doesn't look like a deer rifle. Come here. I'm asking you to come here. What does this mean? I'm trying to get somebody to snag my phone here because it's ringing. At any rate.
The Swiss militia system structure is pretty good. It probably would look something similar to that, but they went and screwed with it recently. They want to take away their ammo, their sealed ammo. But they haven't been invaded for 800 years.
And there's a good reason. There's a reason why Hitler didn't even want to screw with Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, yeah, because these people, they had automatic weapons. And what they used to do in Switzerland, people from the government would show up not to confiscate your stuff, but you had to pass a little test. It had to be well hidden. And there was a criteria. They'd come in and snoop around to see if they could easily find your weapons. And if they could, you got admonished because they showed up and they found them. And they would tell you to hide your weapons better. Now, here's... You know, because this whole thing is rubbing me the wrong way, and I had conversations with Edwin Vieira on this subject as well.
Mm-hmm.
Under the current situation, and people still want to argue with me, the federal government's not a corporation, the state's not a corporation.
Well.
Yeah, okay. Having said that, I'm going to depend on Rick Perry to all of a sudden get real concerned about his own state's people and say, you know what? I think I'm going to allow people to join the militia at my beck and call in the state of Texas. I don't see that happening.
No, not Perry. Too bad. I mean, I'm hoping one of we get some of these governors in there.
Let me continue here. Here is my problem.
We may not have the time.
Well, and we sure as hell don't have any seated governors right now that are worth the powder to blow them up with. Tongue-in-cheek joke.
We may not. I don't know.
So here we're sitting on the precipice of an absolute total takeover from the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
Into the states right now going, well, you know what, under the Commerce Clauses, we can designate firearms and who can have what and how many and what caliber and how it shoots and what's it look like and all that other stuff. And the state said, oh, hold on a second. We're going to make your federal job, Mr. BATFE, real simple. We're going to cut you out of this equation because, you know what, in Montana, and other states, they're saying if we manufacture the arms, our own arms and our own ammunition within our state, and it doesn't cross the state line, so we don't have interstate, we have intrastate. You people don't have the jurisdiction. That is a state right. Get your butt on the plane, go back to Washington, D.C.
Well, the same thing would apply to the state militia, too. They would have no jurisdiction over that structure or our personal firearms in our home, that, you know, under that structure. Joel Bonnick wrote the original bill for Montana. And I know just, I think this week, Oklahoma passed it, both houses. That bill.
For the manufacture of weapons?
Yep, okay. And the governor vetoed it. So,
and which governor?
The current governor.
Of what state?
Oklahoma.
Okay, thank you.
Just yesterday.
All right.
And Randy Brogdon's running against, state senators running against them. So.
Well, and... And I know Randy Brogdon, and he's a good guy. I've had many face-to-face conversations with him, many on the phone with him. I hope he gets the governorship, because I would like to know that right to the north of me is a guy that understands what a constitution is. Now,
yep.
And let me digress here for a second.
Okay.
Here's the problem that I have. If the federal government say, okay, even Ed Vieira points out, you know, what might trigger the Second American Revolution? Well, it could be martial law that's declared.
Going on the southern border right now?
No. Quit putting words in my mouth. You're making it hard for me. Okay, no. Here's the deal. Look, yeah, okay, we'll get around to the southern border because there's other issues I want to talk to you about. But here's the deal. If the banking collapse happens, and it's going to happen within a year and a half, they've only borrowed so much money from the Treasury to inject to have a soft landing, depression-wise, in this country. But take a good, strong look at this, folks. The banking system that you see now has already been consolidated. We used to have about 8,000 banks. We're down to about 4,000 now. But those banks are going to continue to collapse, and they're going to continue to consolidate. We may only end up with two banks in this country. But having said all of that, if, in fact, the economy collapses and people in the cities and they start to riot and all this other happy horse stuff, well, Obama might declare martial law in the country. And if martial law is declared, what happens to constitutional rights? Well, which we don't have anyhow, and they don't recognize through their court systems. But officially, guess what gets suspended? The Constitution of the United States. At which point in time... Katie, bar the door, because anything at that point in time is possible. And I'll say possible because I have seen this federal government do stuff that is illegal, immoral, unethical, unconstitutional, and a bunch of other unthings. But they don't know their place anymore. They don't know their constitutional role. They don't recognize the states. This is why they're in a huff and a puff here. I mean, what did Arizona just do? Out there, they had concealed weapon carry permits. The governor just said, you know what? Our people here in the state are under constant threat because of all the illegals and the drug running and all the murders and all that other stuff. Guess what? Everybody in my state can now carry a gun, and you don't need permission. Well, Obama got all in a bunge over that one. And again, why? Because Barry Sartorio there in Washington, D.C., has got nothing to say with that state security with inside their borders.
That's right.
Not a damn thing does he have to say. But this is the thing. That's why I played this clip for you. You know, these news agencies and the handmaidens of the Fed and these people, trust me, folks, these people in the news media don't even know how to spell Constitution without using the spell check on their computers. But they're the enablers for the propaganda and the BS that's going on out there. Let's go to the phones. Let me jump in here. Go to Don. Well, not Don, just hang on a second. We'll be back in 3 minutes. My guest today, Walter Reddy. The website, ladies and gentlemen, is committees, plural, committeesofsafety.org. Gee, now if we can only get 50 good governors, we'll use the militia the way they should be used, just in case the Fed goes a little nuts, as if they haven't already gone off. the high side. We'll be right back.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
All right, we are back. Don in Reno. I am assuming that's Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city in the world.
More or less.
Probably less now, right?
Yeah, this is another very interesting program. I regret whenever I have to leave town and miss these nice get-togethers. But the community of safety is something I studied years and years ago.
Committees of safety. We've only been around for 3 years.
Well, yeah, but the concept goes back to, as I think you stated, colonial America.
Yeah.
Well, the original committee of safety,
right,
was.
And the bedrock of the committee were the communities. The communities gathered together the adult males to form the committees of safety, and it was from the committees of safety that local militias were formed, and then representatives were sent on to the counties and or the colonial level, as it were, at that time. So the governor really doesn't have or should have direct control of the militia.
Let me just state something. That was because we had these royal governors appointed by King George, and that was violating our laws, our colonial laws. So they had to put these committees.
Right, and that's why they kept
But prior to the 150-year history, up until that point, they had been operating from the early 1600s, 1760.
So the whole essence of this that I see is our communities are the highest form of government.
Mm-hmm.
They're even higher than the county.
Oh, I agree.
And the highest form of law enforcement that we have today is your county sheriff.
Well, no, I don't. Well, okay, fine. Some that's not. All right, let me just say something. The sheriff isn't even met. If we want to talk constitutional law as far as the supreme law of our land, Article 6, it's the supreme law of the land, no higher law. The sheriff isn't even mentioned in the Constitution. Now, some counties can say, yeah, okay, we're going to make the sheriff the head law enforcement in our county. But they were exempt from the colonial militia drills and musters.
Uh-huh.
They had another vital responsibility to do. So did the constables. It complemented them,
right.
But they were never organized the militia or the head of the. They were under the colonial militia or under the state militia. That's constitutional.
But in regards to the county sheriff in the counties. They have the highest law enforcement, I hate to use that term, law enforcement stature of anybody. And I'm talking...
Well,
what?
We don't even have sheriffs in our counties in Connecticut, okay?
Yeah, that's right. They were taken away, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's I know the western states, they're a little different, but I'm talking the original 13... colonies, they were exempt from, if you read the colonial militia statutes in all the 13 colonies, they were exempt from militia duty. They supplemented the militia, but they were never on top, never the highest law enforcement. We, the people, were the ones who executed the laws.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I didn't mean to imply that the sheriff was over the community. I didn't mean to imply that at all.
Right.
I just meant that it was the highest, as John also chimed in, the highest law enforcement of the county.
Elected. Everybody else is appointed.
Right.
It's good they're elected. Just like our officers within the town and county militia structure should be elected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm all in favor of Committee of Safety because it beckons participation of the individual, and I hate to say inhabitant is probably a better word to use. And I'm all for the Committee of Safety and the committees of correspondence and all of those because I think they're the bedrock and the community is really the bedrock even of the counties. And that as you're saying, I think I'm in tacit agreement with that's where we should be going back to.
Well, the sheriff also had the right to put a posse together.
Yeah.
Okay, and he could deputize men, and they went out there and did lawful and legal and constitutional things.
Well, I think the federal government, John, did an end run with this, not necessarily us as us, but as we the people back in the early days of this country when they had the U.S. Marshals. And I think there's a lot of confusion between sheriffs and U.S. Marshals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thanks, Don.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. You're depressing me here, Walter, and I'll tell you why. No, you are. Because
why is that?
Well, because if Obama gets a bug up his or he has a burr in his saddle, and he wants to declare martial law.
Well, wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
if we were organized in this fashion, there's not a lot they could do. We outnumber, first of all.
Okay. It coulda, woulda, shoulda. And
well,
I'm talking about present day structure within the states. I don't see a whole lot of governors going, you know what?
I think they're starting to wake up because of what's going on in the border right now. And they're realizing
they're
the federal
still politicians. We'll be right
well,
back. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Hi, we are back. Let me see here. Bringing up a little information. Gun control debates often focus on the relevance of the Second Amendment's call for a well-regulated militia in light of our modern organized military. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the Second Amendment, tucked right in behind the first one in case they tried to take the first one away. Now, specifically, the argument is made that the U.S. either no longer has a militia or that the National Guard now serves as the militia envisioned by the Founding Fathers. But, in fact, Title 10 of the United States Code provides for both organized and unorganized civilian militias. While the organized militia is made up of members of the National Guard and Naval Militia, the unorganized militia is composed entirely of private individuals. And I'm going to read the Code, Title 10, right now. United States Code, Title 10, Armed Forces, Subtitle A, General Military Law, Chapter 13, The Militia, Section 311, under the heading Militia. Composition and classes. The militia of the United States consists of all able-bodied males at least 17 years of age and, except as provided in Section 313 of Title 32, under 45 years of age, who are or who have made a declaration of intention to become citizens of the United States, and of female citizens of the United States who are members of the National Guard. Now, the classes of the militia are the organized militia, which consists of the National Guard and the Naval Militia, and two, the unorganized militia, which consists of the members of the militia who are not members of the National Guard or the Naval Militia. It does not make a distinction in that United States Code Title 10. It gives provision there for the unorganized militia. Now, it doesn't go into how they're called up or who has dominion or command of the army or whatever. It just says in Title 10 that there's a provision for the unorganized militia. Now, are you saying to me, sir, that this
it's
is...
It's so unconstitutional that bill is blatantly unconstitutional right from the very first word, the militia of the United States. There was never anything. It's the militia of the several states. There's no such thing as the United States militia.
Ah, but at least
it violates the supreme law of the land. The militia of the several, they were state institutions. Prior to the Constitution, they were colonial militia, not United States militia of the United States.
I caught the same thing you did. Okay, yeah. Citizens of the United States. I'm not a citizen of the United States.
Or the United States militia. There's not a national militia.
Or whatever. But at least they gave two provisions for organized and unorganized.
Well, an unorganized militia is mute. I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, all militias were organized until 1903.
All right, Walter, and I'm going to come back around to this point again because I don't see any state governors. You're saying, oh, they're starting to come around. Yes, yeah, so is Christmas. And that's
only because of what's going on in Arizona right now. They see that the federal government now is not providing for the security.
Common
defense.
They've
been derelict and, calling forth while they don't have a militia of the state. So, or they're not even bringing in the National Guard, Army National Guard, to secure the border. So the states realize that they have to do this themselves. They're exercising their 10th Amendment right, which is, I'm really hopeful about that. I mean, now we just have to put some teeth into that 10th Amendment. And
yeah,
this is one of the main enforcements of the 10th Amendment.
Well, and I hope before everybody is satisfied crossing all their T's and dotting their I's and genuflecting here to the Fed going, okay, no, wait a minute here. You know, your Title 10 ain't right, you know, and that's declared, and you're making declarations that aren't constitutional, all that stuff.
I talked to Congressman Paul about that. I told him every congressman since 1903 has been derelict in their duty to correct that statute. And he told me at the time that he could put in a bill, this was a few months back, and repeal it. He said, let me look at it. Yeah, I could put in a bill to repeal that. It's unconstitutional. So I'd encourage everybody to call him and encourage him to do that.
But what I see happening is what Oklahoma just did. Because if people think we have independent and free and sovereign states, they had better think again.
Wait, John, what I picked up in what you read me there was any unauthorized militia.
Didn't say anything about it. It didn't say anything about any unauthorized. It didn't say anything about unauthorized.
Well, it's talking about gangs, unauthorized militia.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're talking about the story I read from Oklahoma. I thought you were talking about Title 10.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they come out and say, well, you know, these people are terrorists. So we're going to ban their formation. And that anybody, hell, that would probably even, if two guys went out duck hunting, two or more people together, well, you might be a militia.
Well,
see, here's my
calling
problem.
Yourself a militia, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, here's my problem. You know. Here's my problem. What you're saying to me is there is no provision for an unorganized militia. And, well, we kind of had an organized militia, but that was hijacked about 100 years ago. So what I'm hearing from you is we have no legal standing whatsoever.
That's
I'm hearing
correct.
From you. Okay, well, hell, so when, hold on here a second. Walter.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. When the feds come knocking at my door and go, well, you know, I hear you're part of militia, and you know what, we declared that a terrorist organization, you're coming with us. You're now considered an enemy combatant. Too bad, boy. See,
I believe in our Declaration of Independence.
I believe in a lot of things.
By our Creator, look, with certain rights.
Walter, look, the ACLU came along and gave us the separation of church and state in 1961.
Yeah, but we do, John, you know, we have a right to defend our life, our liberty, and our property.
We're I better not do with more than one person. I might be a terrorist. Now, I'm serious. I mean, these people
well,
are not...
I'm serious, too.
Well, so
mean,
am I.
Unfortunately, being kind of visible in this movement, without this structure in place, I think we're kind of vulnerable because we'll have 50 guys in black ninja suits coming. You know, I mean, what?
I'll tell you what. Who should I call? In case the Fed declares martial law, suspends the Constitution, and starts rounding people up, what do I call on you, or who do I call on Ron Paul to ask him advice? Here come the Feds. It's not legal and it's not constitutional what they're doing. They just suspended everything, and I guess I'm just going to give them my arms because they're going to threaten me. They're going to say that, you know what, you're on the watch list here. You could
That's
be a terrorist.
That's why I've been insisting that we tell them these. Look, we have a right, that's our right, our Second Amendment, to have this organized state militia. And they're derelict right now. Everyone that has sworn an oath, they're bound, Article 6, they're bound to uphold the supreme law of the land, the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And one of our rights is to have this organized state militia, and right now they're derelict in not having that, provide for that.
Well, and there's needs to be a lot of provision. Look, if we haven't been with Constitution, according to these people, and even our own state's governors and mm-hmm. state politicians, we got the world's greatest democracy. You didn't hear
a lot
about
of them
it?
Are just doing. They're ignorant. You know, they just don't know any. Some of them are definitely enemies of ours.
Okay, but their ignorance is paving the way for my eventual destruction if I don't stand up against tyranny.
Right.
That's my problem, and I don't you know
no,
in a perfect world, you know, I'd like to say, well, you know what, Walter Reddy, I think that we should form committees and we should go talk to the governors and we should show them the law and we should beg and with
well I'm not begging.
Okay.
I testified before our state capitol joint session, the 10th Amendment hearing, and I looked at every one of them, and it was, you know, we had standing room only, okay, and at our state capitol on the 10th Amendment. And I said, listen, every one of you, when you took office, you raised your right hand. You're bound by an oath to uphold our Bill of Rights and Constitution. I believe there's two powers. We need to be on a sound, stable money system. Article 1, Section 10, no
yeah,
state shall make anything but
yeah,
gold.
Yeah, how did that work out for us? And
the chairman of the committee said, do we even have that right to put that in? I said, absolutely, okay. Our 10th Amendment.
Okay,
right?
You're only proving my point of the deadheads and the butt faces that we have in elected offices.
Well, we're targeting every one of them. Targeting. Maybe I should use that term. We're going to remove them in November if they're not going to uphold their oath.
Yeah, and the Republicans, what, know more about the Constitution than the Democrats do?
No, I'm not saying that.
I know you're not saying that. I'm just simply pointing that out, that everybody is all, we'll vote them out of office in November. Okay.
Well...
Yeah, and my analogy about...
I don't know, John.
Look, yeah.
I mean...
Well,
and
I'm bringing...
Two.
Hey, look.
I'm encouraged by... At least people are starting to wake up now. We've been at this a long time.
Yeah, they're waking up, and they're going to vote for Sarah Palin in 2012. That's a real wake-up call. Yeah, let's get back to the phones here. Ron in Pennsylvania. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
I don't know. I'm feeling, hey, Ron, I'll be honest with you, I'm feeling very vulnerable right now. Very, very vulnerable.
I might be vulnerable after I make a couple of comments here.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, shoot, so to speak.
Okay, I'll be as quick as I can here to give some other people an opportunity to maybe lambaste me after I get done here.
No, but, Ron, nobody wants to call in because I think they feel that their numbers are going to be tracked back and they might be part of a militia.
Everybody's terrified.
They are, and I'm not and the other guy that called from Reno.
Yeah,
I had the opportunity to be in a court case with a friend of mine who was indicted on tax reads. Real short case, but Chief Justice John Roberts sat in on that because he used to be the federal district judge here in the town where I live, and he is by no means tongue-tied in any way, shape, or form, and I don't know whether he was going to burst out in laughter or what when he swore in this fake who-knows-where-from-whom that was inserted as President of the United States. Now, following that, I have looked in my pocket constitution here, and I looked to my eyes burn, and I cannot see as a president having any authority with martial law whatsoever, and the term martial law is not even mentioned.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, continuing with that, Dr. Edwin Vieira, who I have a couple of copies of stuff printed out here someplace, went into that martial law issue, and there ain't any.
Right.
And if you read what he says, read what it says, not between the lines or what you want it to mean. They could toss this martial law out with the weekly trash pickup, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Now, people have to read what things says, what things do say, and analyze that. Executive orders become law? Illegal. Gone. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. None of them are true. Now, the martial
law... The executive branch doesn't have the right to make law.
That's correct. But these clowns in Congress, these idiots down there, seem to think that after 30 days, if nobody acts about it, it becomes law. Every single one of them is illegal.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And you know, here...
They're rogue agents when they're acting outside the Constitution.
They've been rogue for years.
The rogue agents are outlaws, no different than a common criminal. They're acting in that capacity. They're not acting within the supreme law.
I don't know, Walter and Ron, is anybody paying attention? Let me see. We're following what every industrialized country outside of the United States has done. Well, first of all, they did the same thing that we did. They've got a fractionalized reserve system, the funny money we call it. They have their own forms of taxation. We got the Internal Revenue Service. They have now given us national health care. And what else did they do? Let me see. National health care, and what was the other one I was going to mention? I'll think of it here in a second, but... if we keep following this course of events that's happening with every other country around the world, the next thing up on the block is going to be private arms ownership. And people are going, oh, that's never going to happen. You know, we got the NRA. Yeah.
Well, one good thing, just to show that this is starting, this state sovereignty, taking the 10th Amendment power, I mean, 20 of these state attorney generals filed lawsuits to not honor it.
Okay.
You know?
Well,
I mean, that's
let's talk. Hold on here, Mr. Reddy, because Judge Napolitano has said, you know, that's really good that the states are taking this position, the state's attorneys generals. He said, but you know what? He says that probably won't be heard by the Supreme Court until 2014 or 2018. And they don't even have to hear it at all. They're not hearing any cases whatsoever on a lot of issues that have been going on. They're not going to touch the Patriot Act. They've already said that. And the Patriot Act, in my estimation, is blatant, illegal, and unconstitutional on its face, let alone the devil in the detail. And like you said, Ron, you know, you read the Constitution. You don't see anything about suspension of Constitution or anything. But that I keep hearing this from people. Well, they don't have any right to do it. Well, what the hell's going to stop them? What is going to stop them?
The Second Amendment, a well-organized state militia.
The one that is not organized or unorganized,
yep.
And at the behest of the government.
The one that we need to focus on.
And at the behest of the governor that's really not the true champion of the people of the respective states.
Well, some of them may. We have 50 state governors, and all we need is one to start them. And they may be...
Ron, are you getting depressed, too?
I'm depressed.
A few things, but a Tenth Amendment means simply what it says and simply says what it means. I mean, everybody...
Yeah, but there, it has no teeth.
It does if you want it to.
Well, where's the teeth? They have the purse strings and they have the overwhelming force, organized force.
Well, just Governor...
And the founders believe... This is why the founders said this was the one thing that's necessary for it to remain free. This well-organized state militia is necessary for it to remain free. Not the president, not Congress, not the Department of Homeland Security, nothing else but this. The only thing they said in the Constitution that's necessary, not optional, good idea, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't know about you, but I...
Our founders believed that. I mean, even our enemies believed that. Chairman Mao said all political power comes through the barrel of a gun.
Wait. Let's back up. Since you like to talk about the founders, I didn't see... Skip that break. I didn't see the founders getting a permission slip from King George to have a revolution against king and country, did you?
They didn't need a permission slip. They had an organized colonial militia.
Oh, but
very well organized.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Within the colonies.
How did King George feel about these organized militias?
Oh, he didn't like it, but he couldn't stop it, could he? They stopped them right at Lexington and Concord.
Yeah, but
they stood their ground.
Yes,
it was one little, you know. I mean, they had foreign mercenaries, the Redcoats, you know. At least we have...
But that was the government of the time.
Yeah, but we have many patriotic Americans within our military.
No, let's forget patriotism.
Well, whatever.
Forget the violation of the king's rule. He didn't want it. He didn't like it. And he sure as hell didn't like when those few people stood up against the Redcoats at Cabrini Green when they tried to confiscate their shot and powder. That was when the shot was heard around the world, and the rest is history.
Let's talk in numbers. 5% of the American people, if they volunteered within this state militia structure, that's 15 million organized, armed Americans. Now, how big is that compared to what they bring against us?
Where'd you get the 5%? In what time frame? Back then or now?
Well, like, say there's 300, roughly, million
300
Americans.
300 million, yeah, yeah.
The 5% of that is 15 million.
Okay.
That are organized and trained and
We got a standing paramilitary army of 15 million?
No, the American people I'm talking about. Within the states.
Ron?
Yeah, number of them, 1,001.
More thing and I'll conclude.
Go, please.
These people out here that are trying to slam the militias, they know they're perfectly legit, because if they weren't legit, they wouldn't be in a fervor to try to outlaw them, and they also know what the Tenth Amendment is, which does stand on a bedrock of granite as far as I'm concerned. You take those two together, melt them together, and they got big-time trouble, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I cannot be compelled to obey an illegal act, which I certainly would not do, I'm just going to follow the law as I see it.
Yeah.
And the Constitution. That's the way it's going to go down.
And look, the federal government has shown its disdain for rights, the Constitution, freedom, liberty. They're in the business of smashing all of those.
Well, it's clearly shown that they're hell-bent on installing communism full teeth here in the U.S., and mm-hmm. I'm not going to put up with it, and I hope everybody else does not either.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't think we will. I mean, seeing this from what's going on last...
I just don't like...
And I know a lot within the Tea Party movement and everything else are not... We're totally woken up on understanding our Constitution.
Well, people got to get away from thinking in terms of party and affiliation and left and right and all that kind of stuff, and look and see what the things say. Where is the whole movement going? Where are all the people going? What's happening?
Well, and
as a whole.
Yeah, and the bent on this is now that these armed militias are popping up all over the countries because of politics. This has nothing to do with politics per se. This politics to me is the issue when both parties ignore the Constitution equally. That's what they're in business to do.
The government brought it upon themselves. What do they expect people to react? what they're going to do.
Bingo.
Yeah.
But they're still out there in control of the medias, propagandizing people that are going, okay, here we have the greatest country. We've only been formed for, what, 235 years? We went from the richest, most powerful, most respected nation on the face of this planet in the span of 235 years to the biggest debtor nation. And, hell, in many respects, they've got more freedom in Russia right now than we do here. Now, I, for one, gentlemen, am not going to sit around and debate the issues about, well, whether it's the organized or the unorganized. Look, I got my bullets, I got my beans, and I got my Bible. When it's time for me to stand for the Constitution and the freedom and liberty of not only myself but my fellow man in this country, I sure as hell am not going to ask Rick Perry for his permission. Now, y'all better get that. I'm not playing patty cake with this, and I could give a damn less.
Well, John, we may only have that. Well, but, yeah. I mean, if we have enough time, if we can have enough time and we can put this proper structure in the way the founders recommended. I mean, look, if it comes down to it and we don't have enough time, of course we're going to have to do what we can do.
There you go.
We're going to defend our lives.
I've got more calls here. Let me take one more. Vince in New Jersey. Hello, Vince.
Yeah, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, you were talking about the 50 state governors, and that's all it takes is just one governor to stand up and
put
together a militia.
I did.
Walter said that.
Okay, well, if you're waiting for a governor, which is today nothing more than a fiction, just a corporate
state legislators.
How do you think these people are ever going to stand up behind a militia? Do you think Chris Christie over here in New Jersey is going to give you that? These people are.
No, I think he needs to be replaced. Give him a pink slip.
Replaced? Replaced with what? It's all corporate fiction. The whole state. Look at our legislature. It's a joke.
You're in Florida?
The whole thing is a corporate fiction.
No, he's in Jersey.
Oh, okay, Christie.
We gave you the country over here, pal.
I'm in Connecticut.
Yeah,
I'm
well, let me
13.
Tell you, the fighting was done over here in Jersey.
I know.
The turn of the revolution came over here at the Battle of Trenton. If you want a real militia, it came out of New Jersey. It didn't come someplace out in Minnesota, okay?
Well, my family was part of the Connecticut State Militia. He volunteered when he was 16, in 1776. And his next-door neighbor was Nathan Hale.
Yeah,
that's where I'm coming from.
Vince, did he just hang up?
Well, hey, New Jersey put up a good fight. They reversed it at Trenton and ran them all the way back.
Well,
that was the turning point. I agree with.
I'll tell you what. You know, it's nice to sit here and banter political philosophies and law and all that stuff while we're in relative peace. But this peace is not going to hold, Walter Reddy, and you know that.
So, I know that they want the. Our enemies want a bloodbath.
I understand that.
They're hoping that it'll break down into social chaos, and so they can bring in their militarized police state.
Well, I'll tell you what. When the time comes, I'm sure as hell not going to be on the phone to a lawyer going.
I won't be either. If it comes to that.
All right. Your website, committeesofsafety.org. You work closely with Ed Vieira. We'll see.
And can I just plug Edwin's website too?
Quickly.
He writes a lot. He has a lot of stuff.
15 seconds.
On committeesofsafety.org, but also newsabuse.com.
All right.
Especially on the militia subject. He's got quite a few on that.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to bring you back and Ed as well, and we'll have further discussions on this.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Okay, then. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Walter.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay. We'll see you.
With recent